Welcome to another edition of the Bun Sports College Football Podcast. I'm Jacob Bun, joined by the college football professor, as we are now past week three of the college football season, and we will be entering week four. We'll talk about all the top stories that developed over the weekend, as well as preview what's ahead. There are three major games that I want to get the professor's take on as we head into this interesting Saturday. Well, actually four, if you count one pretty significant game on Thursday night, so we'll get his take on that one as well. It involves the SEC and the Big 12, but we'll start where else but Columbia, South Carolina, where the Gamecocks were able to get a 38-35 victory in the most thrilling of fashion. Georgia's Marshall Morgan, who had made 20 straight, which is the SEC record field goals, ended up missing two to end that game. A lot of Georgia fans think that Todd Gurley should have had the ball at the end of the game down there when they decided to put it in the hands of Hudson Mason and throw it. I can't really question the call there by Mike Bobo and Mark Richt, but that's what they ended up electing to do. I'll bring in the college football professor now. What was your take on that game and, of course, that call at midfield, that chain measurement that ended up going in the favor of the head ball coach?
Well, it was quite a game, and, you know, we make it a cliche, but, you know, football is a game of inches. I think we saw it played out there. And, you know, when I really looked at that the first time, when it was third down, they were very close to making a first down. They were like an inch or two away. I think you could see a little bit of movement when the quarterback ran that next play. So, you know, he had to have gained a couple of inches, but must not have gained but three. So,
yeah, I thought he made it, personally. I did.
That was interesting. And you were talking about should Todd Gurley have had the ball. Well, you can go back to the Indianapolis Colts on Monday night. Should Andrew Luck been throwing the ball when they could have kicked a field goal and gone up by 10 with less than 2 minutes to go in that game? So sometimes it's easy to second guess, but I think sometimes coaches they outsmart themselves.
I think they do. I think you're right. If you've got a guy like Todd Gurley, and again, I think Todd Gurley was a little tired at the end of that game, and that's something Georgia needs to keep in mind. I mean, they have a big game against Tennessee and then Vanderbilt and then at Missouri. They have a tough stretch upcoming, and I think they're wearing Todd Gurley out. So keep an eye on that for Georgia. Another stat about that game, the last two times South Carolina beat Georgia, Georgia still went on to win the SEC title. That was in 2011 and, of course, 2012 when they almost went to the national championship but came up short to Alabama. So that's that game, 38-35, the biggest game of the week, of course, South Carolina, the only game between ranked teams. Boston College in Chestnut Hill was able to get an upset over USC. That's 37-10 there. Number four, Oklahoma, rolled over Tennessee. But I thought this game was closer than it looked.
Yes, that Oklahoma and Tennessee game was closer. And actually, Boston College just took it to Southern Cal. That's the only way you can look at it. And that, frankly, Jacob, I was just totally surprised by that.
UCLA, number 12, was able to get a win over Texas. And we were talking earlier today, and you told me something interesting about that game. Go through that once again. I've never heard anything like this before.
It's my understanding that Texas when they the other team won the toss, UCLA won the toss, and they elected to defend a certain goal. Well, normally you receive, and next if you kick off, you get to receive the next time. Texas chose then to kick off, which meant that they would take in their choice then to kick, and then UCLA took their choice in the second half to receive. So that means they received it twice.
The notoriously active Texas message boards would probably have a field day with that one. That is an amazing, amazing development there to kick off in both halves. You just don't see that at all in football. Other scores from the SEC: Missouri was able to get the win over Central Florida. I think pretty impressive win, 38-10 over a decent team there. Vanderbilt finally got a win. They beat UMass 34-31. A big win for the Arkansas Razorbacks, and I think Brett Bielema is showing that his team is making improvement, 49-28 on the road in Lubbock.
Yes, and I think, you know, Arkansas is showing that they're not going to be a pushover. Now, you know, their loss to Auburn was an interesting thing. If I remember correctly, that game was tied 21-21, and then we had all the bizarre things happen. I'm not saying any of those kept Arkansas from winning. You know, the Arkansas assistant coaches got trapped in the elevator. They had an hour delay or so with weather and just made that second half a bizarre second half. So Arkansas has really acquitted themselves pretty good this year.
Number 14, Ole Miss, 56-15 over Louisiana Lafayette. Mississippi State, 35-3 over South Alabama, a team that's hopefully on the rise there from here to the state of Alabama. LSU was 10-0 with Louisiana Monroe late in the third quarter, but they were able to pull away 31-0 at the end of that one. Texas A&M 38-10 over Rice. Here are some other scores from the top 25. Ohio State 66-0 over Kent State, and then East Carolina 28-21. What happened to Virginia Tech?
Well, Virginia Tech, you know, they moved. What they did is they moved into the same category as Michigan and maybe some other teams into that non-relevant. They wanted to be didn't want to be relevant anymore.
I'll tell you another team that is on that same line and is from the same conference. That's Louisville, number 21 previously. They got beaten 23-21 Charlottesville at the hands of the Virginia Cavaliers. Not a good start there for Bobby Petrino.
Yes, that's right. And you know, when you're playing a conference like the AAC, you know, with one loss, you're really in trouble.
Number two, Oregon had no problem with Wyoming, 48-14. Stanford, 35-0 over Army. Notre Dame, 30-11 over Purdue. And Arizona State, 36-24 over Colorado. That's the top 25 from this past week. And a couple other notables. Florida has now won 28 straight over Kentucky, which is the longest current streak for another team over one team over another in FBS of an uninterrupted series. And here's one I want to get your take on. The Big Ten fell to 1-9, 1-9 against Power Five conference opponents in 2014, including last Saturday, 0-4. And I think the best example of that was West Virginia eking it out over Maryland. The Big Ten just can't catch a break.
And not only that, Indiana, who was, you know, supposedly one of their promising teams coming up, gets beat by Bowling Green, and Minnesota got run by TCU. Those are not very impressive. I don't know. The Big Ten is just absolutely just not having a good year. There's no way to explain it.
All right, Professor, give me your top five as we see it right now exiting week three.
Well, I think I would put Florida State, Alabama, Oregon, Auburn, and Oklahoma. But I want to list a couple of teams that are moving up.
So that's your top four. No, that's actually five.
Yeah, and there are a couple of teams moving up.
Okay.
And I'm not saying they're close to the top five, but LSU and Notre Dame are both moving up quite well.
Indeed. Okay, let me ask you something. Why do you have Alabama in front of Oregon?
That's not any order. When I say the top five, you could have said Oklahoma, Auburn, Oregon, and Alabama, and Florida State. So I wasn't putting them in any order. I'm just saying right now, that's if you took a bag, you'd have five teams in that bag. You could shake them up any way you wanted to, I think.
Speaking of Auburn, let's talk about number five ranked Tigers because they're traveling to Kansas State, Manhattan on Thursday night. This is a big game for Auburn, and this is a team that, if you're not careful, Kansas State can give you some trouble.
I really think that Auburn will just have too much talent on the field for Kansas State. Now, let me say quickly that that Bill Snyder is just one of the best coaches in the nation. He's really a great coach. And I've written about him and talked about him last year a lot because I really love his coaching. But he's just not going to have enough firepower, I don't think, for Auburn because their talent would just be too much for Kansas State. So that's the way I'm looking at that game.
I want to spotlight three games on Saturday, and we will start in Baton Rouge, where Mississippi State travels to the eighth-ranked Tigers. This is at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Now, this is an interesting game for LSU, and I think it could go either way, really.
I believe you're right. And, Jacob, don't you think that this will be a game where we begin to see some division in the conference and in as teams all over the nation? Mississippi State or LSU will come out of that game. They will be kind of put back on the back burner. That doesn't mean they're eliminated from anything, but they'll be put on the back burner at least for a while.
Florida travels to third-ranked Alabama. This is 2:30 on CBS. And one note about that game, Alabama has just been lighting it up through the air, Blake Sims, and a little bit by Jake Coker as well. Amari Cooper passed Hall of Famer Ozzie Newsome and moved into third place on Alabama's career receiving list. He now just trails, I believe, DJ Hall and Julio Jones, some pretty big names there. But is Alabama, are they focusing too much on Cooper, or are they perhaps setting up a tendency to where later in the year they can spread it out a little bit?
You know, when I think about that, that's the case, that they're just, that's who they're looking at, and that's who they're getting the ball to, and as long as the other teams don't try to stop them, they just keep giving it to him. However, it does seem to me like they would want to pass the ball around a little bit more, and I think they'll probably start doing that. But
How about this matchup, though, with Florida?
I think it's going to be maybe a better matchup than most people think. Now, here's why. Florida, even though it was 3-3, I mean, that's unbelievable. It was with Kentucky, was 3-3 at the half.
It was 3-3 late in the third quarter.
Right. But if you really looked at it, Florida moved the ball a lot. So they are moving the ball, getting a lot of yards. Yards don't mean points. You only get points when you cross the goal line. But when you see a team moving the ball, that's telling you they're doing a lot of things right. There may be some things that they need to work on. But I think Alabama will win the game, but I'm not sure it's going to be as much of a margin as most people think.
That's interesting. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think it'll be a closer game, and that Florida offense does not look as anemic as it once did. Let's move to another part of the state of Florida in our final game that we'll talk about next week, and that's number 22, Clemson, taking on Florida State in Tallahassee. Last year it was a complete rout when it was in Tiger Stadium, so you would expect the same thing even more so this year in Doak Campbell. Maybe not.
Well, Clemson, of course, they really didn't look, you know, their first game of the year, they really didn't look good. But they got a lot of good players, but Florida State has not looked like the same team either. So I think Florida State will win the game. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have a surprise here.
Yeah, I think it very well could happen. That's 7 o'clock on ABC Saturday night. Well, that's another installment of the College Football Professor's preview and recap of college football season. We will join you again next week if you will listen here at bunsports.com, and we'll talk about what happened in Week 4 and look ahead to Week 5 as the college football season rolls on in 2014.